Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, everybody. Again, this is your host, Lauren, and you are listening to episode 99, Conquer Your Fears and Transform Your Life with Nancy Pickard. And before we jump into today's show, a reminder, we are sponsored by so many lovely brands, including Living the Good Life Naturally. They are my all-time favorite go-to magnesium company. If you want to learn more about the benefits of magnesium, listen to episode 73, that's 73. And if you're interested in purchasing some magnesium, head over to the website in the show notes and make sure to use code WICHY, W-I-C-T-H-Y, for 10% off of your order. And secondly, I'd like to introduce a new sponsor, Blair Lane. It's a sustainably and carefully curated online boutique for the modern woman. At Blair Lane, they are passionate about eco-friendly, organic designs focused on quality. They've dedicated time to choosing each brand wisely and finding unique products to provide the modern woman with sustainably conscious style. Head over to Blair Lane Co., that's BLAIRLANE Co.com to use code WICHY, WICTHY, to get 20% off of your order. Now back to today's show with Nancy. What does it take to have passion, confidence, and guts to climb Mount Kilimanjaro at age 61? Well, our guest today, Nancy Pickard, knows. In today's episode, we'll talk more about that, but also how to discover what keeps us from achieving what we want from life, whether it's a career, relationship, or healthy lifestyle. In today's episode, you'll hear how she went from a gym owner and stay-at-home mom to now author and coach. What are shadow beliefs? How do shadow beliefs keep you from living a bigger, better, and braver life? Why is it important to become a conscious observer of one's behavior rather than a reactor? Nancy's own experience in climbing Kilimanjaro. What is the nature of fear? How can we come to terms with it and cultivate fear as a driving force for change? And how can we free ourselves from old ways of behaving? And so much more. I'm so excited to show you guys episode 99. Conquer Your Fears and Transform Your Life with Nancy Pickard. Please enjoy. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio again. This is your host, Lauren, and this is a show you learn how your body is not in your way, but actually leading your way. And our amazing guest today, Nancy Pickard. We are speaking with her. She is a certified master life coach and author of the international bestseller, Bigger, Better, Braver, Conquer Your Fears, Embrace Your Courage, and Transform Your Life. In her new breakout book, Nancy draws on her personal and professional experiences, coaching and empowering others who are seeking to attain a full and deeply rewarding life of their own. She is a powerhouse of inspiring others to stop playing small so they can unleash our greatest potential. And we are talking about today helping people discover what keeps them from achieving what they want from life, whether it's your career, relationship, healthy lifestyle, whatever. Welcome to the show, Nancy. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, yeah, me too. I love talking anything, conquering your fears. I like to say, turn my fear into freedom. It's what gives me up in the morning, turning that anxiety and refocusing it. And I would love to hear your own transformational story. How did you get into this work? Your book was written part of your personal story, part experience as a professional help. How did you kind of make these realizations and start doing this in your own life and now helping others do the same?
Well, you know, a journey is never just a direct path, right? And so I think it's really interesting that when you get further along, you can actually look back and say, oh, wow, I did this 20 years ago and this is helping me now, but you have no idea. So I was married for 26 years, really happily married, loved my life, raised two children. We really had it all going on, or so I thought, and then that imploded. And I didn't have the tools that I have now. So that part of it is that I wanted to help other people so that they could learn the lessons earlier and not have to stay the victim in their story like I did for so many years. But so I didn't really learn the lessons there. I tried to recreate, like I thought I needed to fix that picture. I needed to be married again. I needed to be in relationship. I needed somebody to like be supporting and helping me. And when I was engaged to somebody else, and when that fell apart, that was the wake-up call that, oh, there is a lesson here I'm not learning. There is something the universe wants me to know for me, for the evolution of my soul, and I need to learn it because I don't want to be here again. So I had owned a personal training gym for 16 years. So I was already in wellness and in helping other people and in coaching, but in a very different way. You know, this is much more mindful mindset from the inside out instead of the outside in. And I got myself a coach called Healing Your Heart, which I am also a Healing Your Heart coach. And right then and there, I said, I'm going to go through this coaching with her, and then I'm going to go through the certification, and I'm going to become a coach. And that was 9 years ago, 9, 10 years ago. And I still had no idea that I would be this, because I still had not learned the lesson that I was meant to play all out. I was meant to be as big as I can be. And I was meant to share those gifts with as many people as I can. And I didn't need someone to take care of me. I was whole on my own. And so that's really what led me. And it just keeps evolving, because the one thing I can tell you is that when you write a book, be careful what you write about, because whatever you write about, the universe gives you as many examples as possible. They shove it in your face. Oh, you want to be bigger, better, braver? Do this, do this, do this. And so my mantra of, you know, bigger, better, braver is really what moves me and propels me all the time to try the next step, the next step, the next step.
And for me, I'm vegetarian, but I think of the phrase, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time?
Right.
And that's a pretty big or better thing. And for so many of us, we get in our own way. We might have a spark of inspiration or an idea or like a desire of what we want our life in any area to look like. But then we start to self-sabotage. Then the fear, the worries of not enoughs. None of time, money, I'm not worthy, you know, X, Y, Z, fill it in. I would love to start talking about like, what are these shadow beliefs? And, you know, how are they keeping us from living this bigger, better, and braver life? Because it's really, at the end of the day, it's just us. It's all up here that's keeping it.
No, it's totally, it's the main thing that's keeping us. So shadow beliefs, for those who don't know what they are, they're formed in the first 10 years of your life. An event happens and you give it a meaning because you're too young to emotionally understand what happened, but you make a meaning out of it. And in an instant, that becomes part of your subconscious. You're not even aware of it. For example, when I was 5 years old, I was playing with a lighter and I put myself on fire and my whole party dress went up in flames. My whole body got burned, but minor burns, like first and second degree burns. I don't have any scars on my body. So I never really thought that much about it. I didn't get in trouble because my parents were so happy I was alive. And, you know, it was a big event. Fast forward, like 45 years, I was in a car accident, which was the next time I almost died. And I had PTSD from it. And my coach at the time took me in to see well, something in your past, some sub-personality has something about this accident that they want you to know. And what came up for me was that this little girl was in there and she wanted me to know I wasn't safe alone. Now that makes perfect sense for a five-year-old who just put herself on fire. And so shadow beliefs are actually made to protect us, and they do until they don't. So as a child, I always had a lot of friends. I've had a boyfriend since I was 13. I was like a serial relationship woman, girl. And you too? Yeah, always. It's so common. And I just thought, oh, I'm just that kind of person. But really deep down, I didn't feel safe by myself. So when I uncovered the belief, in an instant, not only was the PTSD gone because that little girl was now at peace, but so was my neediness for having to have a partner in my life. And I was able to give myself a new empowering belief. So that's what we want to do with our shadow beliefs. We want to uncover them. And here's an example of many of our beliefs. I'm not good enough. I'm broken. I'm not lovable. I'm only lovable if I'm perfect. I have to do everything to be loved. I can't make any mistakes to be loved. My voice doesn't matter. My needs don't matter. I mean, hello, people pleasers. You definitely have these beliefs. And so if you have this belief that my needs don't matter, or I have to put everyone before myself, you become a people pleaser to the point that you don't even know what you need. You never ask yourself, what do I want? What do I need? Does this work for me? And because you don't do that, you have leaky boundaries. You don't know how to set boundaries. You know, you start to get all upset because people aren't like seeing your needs, but they can't see your needs because you don't even see your needs. So anyway, the back to the shadow belief is that we all have fears, but underneath those fears are these beliefs. So if you have a belief that you're not good enough or you're not worthy, you're going to be afraid to try anything that's going to put that to test, because you actually, your brain believes its limitations. If it thinks you're unworthy, it's going to attract situations and people into your life to prove how unworthy you are, so that your ego can say, see, that guy just dumped you. Look how unworthy you are. Or you can only get these low life people, or you lost your job, or whatever it is. You look at the lens of what's not working, so that it can show you that, yes, you're true. You're not, you are broken. You are not enough. You are unworthy, all those things.
Yeah. So, you know, I think of the phrase, you don't see life how it is. You see life how you are. Mm-hmm. And you attract, I mean, and here's the good news, people. It can be the opposite way too. You know, once you address these shadow beliefs, once you do the work to kind of figure out what you really do want, and it works both ways. But back to the shadow beliefs and like inner child, really, my friends and I have this joke. It's not really a joke because it's powerful, but sometimes you don't want to hear it. Who's running the show, or right, who's driving the school bus? Mm-hmm. Is it you, or is that a wounded child or a shadow belief running the show? And so many of the time it is, because like you mentioned, up until the age of like 7 or 10, we're fully in a subconscious state. We're like this subconscious sponge, because thinking about how complex our society is, it is to survive in the world, in your country, and not only that, your family. As a little kid, you're growing up and absorbing everything so you can be safe. And like you so beautifully pointed out, all these shadow beliefs are there to, they're ego created because the ego is there to keep you safe. And so many times they're not serving us later in life. And wow, that dress story is very, very powerful. But I would love to talk about how to become the conscious observer. I do this every day in my meditations and my visualizations, morning and night, rather than becoming a reactor.
Mm. Well, it takes work.
Oh, yeah.
But The benefit is that you become so less reactive in your life, and you actually get an opportunity to take those beliefs that are running the show, as you said. You know, I say that they run our operating system, and look and say, well, okay, what just happened here? Like, why am I triggered? I'm obviously triggered. Like, you're mad, you're angry. And the thing is, when you get triggered, your reaction is usually very childish, because it's actually your inner child who got triggered. So when you want to like write that bad email or say something nasty or respond like without thinking about it, that's the reactor, and it's going to come out sideways. So when you become the observer, you're actually the one that's saying, oh, wait a minute, I'm the one who's hearing the voice inside my head. I'm not the voice inside my head. I can have thoughts, and those thoughts are not necessarily true. They're probably not true. So the observer stops and says, okay, wait, what just triggered me? How else can I look at this? You know, what do I think their intention was versus what I'm making it mean? And then what am I making it mean about me? And how can I respond differently? How can I show up differently? Sometimes it's a matter of just, you know, everyone's heard this, like wait 24 hours before you respond, or you don't have to give somebody an answer. You can say, let me think about it, or that sounds great, or I'm not ready to answer that right now, or I need some time for myself. I'll get back to you. Any of those kinds of things actually are like a separator, and they give you a chance to become the observer instead of the reactor.
And I'm assuming, like, you just gave examples of boundaries. And I'm sure that's tied into having leaky boundaries.
Yeah.
What are leaky boundaries, and how can you, call the plumber and tighten and fix your...
Yeah. How do you fix your leaky boundaries?
Yeah.
So boundaries are really a couple of things. They're what you will and will not tolerate. They're what you will and will not accept. And the delineation between where you end and somebody else begins. And we're not really brought up to have boundaries. You know, in a family, it's like, it's a mess. Everyone thinks they can always give you their opinion, and everyone, you should be doing what they're doing. And then if you have any of these beliefs, like your voice doesn't matter, or your opinions don't matter, or you need to stay silent, you don't actually speak up and say what works for you and what doesn't work for you. And number one, you may not even know, because you're so busy helping other people, but you also haven't learned how to say what you need that gives other people the opportunity to know what you need. You know, most times it's not that they want to disrespect you or you know, upset you. They don't know, because you haven't told them. So setting a healthy boundary would sound like, I feel very disrespected when you show up late every time we're going out. Would you be willing to either show up on time or call me a half an hour beforehand? That's like a boundary request. If they don't honor it, then it's your responsibility, because you've basically set that. It's your responsibility to say, well, to honor and respect myself, the next time you're late, I'm going to leave at the appointed hour and drive myself. And then you have to do it, you know? So that's one example. Would you be willing to not leave the dishes in the sink? I feel very disrespected when I find dishes in the sink. Would you be willing to just stick them in the dishwasher? Right? That's setting a healthy boundary. You know, there's a million healthy boundaries, having people take their shoes off. But then there's also a lot of boundaries on yourself. I mean, start with your own boundaries. If you say you're going to meditate every day, meditate every day. If you're going to say you're going to exercise every day, exercise every day. Like, have some self-honoring practices that you're going to do every day, and you're not going to cross your boundary, which means if you say you're going to do something, you're going to stay in alignment and do it. So those are some examples.
Yeah, for me, you know, all that I have is my word, especially to my word to myself. And that ties into how you talk to yourself, really. And I find I keep to my word more when I'm talking more positively versus when, you know, I might be in this negative spiral, but that negative spiral might be who's running the show, might be a shadow belief or something mm-hmm. that was triggered. And I love what you say is becoming that conscious observer is, oh, I reacted that way. Ooh, I got triggered. Ooh, a shadow belief's there. Okay, let's become curious. Let's become conscious of this. Let's not judge it because it's there to, it's trying to help save me, right. Air quotes. But, you know, sometimes that could be really scary. Doing this work and changing because we're so, I mean, sometimes I feel like I live the same year twice, but it just maybe whole lifetime again. And, you know, we're on autopilot. So making mm-hmm. these changes or stepping into this world of being bigger, better, you know, this lifestyle, there's a lot of fear. I would like to talk about like, what is the nature of fear?
Well, fear is meant to keep us playing small. Mm-hmm. And again, it's our inner critic. And it's, I mean, people are afraid of success, or they're afraid of failure, or they're afraid of being, to look stupid or be embarrassed. They're afraid of being seen. I mean, when I'm a shadow coach and I'm just blown away on a daily basis from people's shadow beliefs from their childhood, you know, how many young girls were sexually molested in some way, not necessarily in like the biggest way, but, you know, neighbors or cousins or brothers who did things to them. And then they made a belief that either they're bad because something bad happened to them, and that they need to stay safe, they shouldn't be seen. So they end up with 20, 50, 100 extra pounds on their body because it keeps them from being seen. I mean, there are just, it's endless how many beliefs get in the way and feed our fear. So I feel like I work with a lot of people who are, you know, honestly, it doesn't matter if they're 30 or 60, their fears are different. You know, in the 50 or 60 year olds, maybe they haven't worked in 20 years and they don't know how, they need to reinvent themselves and they just don't, they're too afraid. You know, their I'm not enough comes out, their imposter syndrome comes out. I work with a lot of clients who are in their 30s who think they're missing the boat and everyone's life is better and social media, everyone's got babies and everyone's married and everyone's got their passionate careers. And, you know, they feel like I'm done. I've missed it. I don't have that. I'm not enough. I mean, it's just our fears keep us playing small. And I'm here to tell you, you will never be in a fearless state if you're waiting to be in a fearless state to move, then you're going to be sitting on that couch the rest of your life. So you have to learn to become comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I have made it like that is my golden rule. When I am afraid to do something, if I can't, I must. Like that is how I know, oh, growth is on the other side. So I just built a course for Jen Connect You and LinkedIn Learning. And when I was first asked to do it, I thought, oh God, that's not me. It's bigger than me, right? And then I said, I have to do it because when I do it, I will no longer have that opinion of myself because I will be that. Like being that comes from stepping in. And if I could just like, I want to shake people sometimes and say, the only thing that's keeping you from feeling good about yourself is taking the first tiny little step. You know, chunk it down. I mean, this whole book started because I climbed Kilimanjaro. And then I say to people, what's your Kilimanjaro? But your Kilimanjaro doesn't have to be, you know, 19,000 feet up in the air. It can be making the phone call you're afraid to make, going out to dinner alone, getting on a dating app, you know, putting out feelers for a new job, letting people know you want a new job, letting people know you're up to dating. I mean, all of those things are just stepping stones to the bigger vision. So figure out, get out of autopilot, figure out what that vision even is. That's the first step. And then you can work on the fears, but know that the fears aren't going away. You are going to take them by the hand and have faith that everything happens for a reason. Everything's for the evolution of your soul. And if you fall, you're going to fall forward because you've just tried something new. And just the trying of something new is going to make you so proud of yourself. That's really, the juice is in the journey. It's not in the end game at all. It's in the journey.
Mm-hmm. I honestly would love to hear a little bit more of you climbing Kilimanjaro because I can't believe how many, I'm sure you having to come over, get over yourself or get over those thoughts or overcome yourself through the training process, through the actual climbing the mountain itself. Could you just speak to like your own experience with that? Because that blows me out of the water.
I loved it, by the way. Yeah. I recommend it to everyone in the world. So I was turning 60 and I thought, oh my God, that's such an ugly number. And I wanted to do something that was going to say, hey girl, you still got it going on, right? You could do anything. And I didn't even go to a restaurant alone. Like I didn't like to do those kinds of things. And so traveling alone and joining like a group of people I didn't know, and then doing this major athletic feat was all part of my bigger, better, braver. Although I didn't have the name of the book then at all. Actually, I couldn't come up with the name of the book. That was a download in the middle of the night. One night, it was just perfect. It was a universal gift. But so I trained for 6 months. I used to be a personal trainer. So the training was like, I love that. I love getting a goal and putting down, you know, everything I need to do and then staying in alignment so that I know I'm going to get there. That is really like, that's my superpower. I can make goal. I can stick to my goals and stay in integrity with my word. And then I love myself even more. And so that's the juiciness of me. And so when I finally got there, I was so overtrained. It was ridiculous because number one, I live in altitude and then I climbed some 14ers and I did a lot to get ready for this. And every single time something physical that I was afraid to do, going over the double black diamonds, like, you know, that are harder than I'm used to doing. And I would say to myself, well, if you can't do this, you're never going to make it to Kilimanjaro. And so that became my thing. And I trained so much. I tested everything. I researched everything. I mean, I was so over-prepared for the trip. And so then the trip was amazing. And the hardest thing for me was being 60 years old. Actually, I was 61 by the time the trip took place, and living outside in a tent for 7 nights with people, you know, that you don't know. And that was more difficult. The elements of whether it was going to be raining or cold or whatever, how I was going to feel in the altitude, every single person in this group, I don't know, maybe there were 20 of us. I think I was the only person that didn't get sick. So as you got more and more into it, somebody came with a cold and one by one, you know, you have you're eating in one tent. One by one, everybody started to get sicker and sicker. And I didn't get sick. I was taking, you know, I was using thieves. I was spraying thieves up my nose and I was just taking supplements and I just hit it. It was a perfect thing for me. I loved every minute of it. Every minute of it. Although when I came down, just a quick note on no matter how much you think you love yourself and everything you're doing, I had read a book about a woman who climbed Kilimanjaro and she didn't even recognize herself when she got back to the room because she was so emaciated from 8 days of all the climbing and everything. And I get back to my room, like stripping off my clothes, ready to see this like emaciated body. And my poor 60-year-old body was so swollen from all of the altitude and the climbing. And the last day was like 10 hours straight that I didn't even see myself in there. And it was like, oh my God. And so I just laugh at that, that's like such a woman, right? You know, you should have been so proud of yourself, but you were still judging yourself on something.
Oh yeah. That's a lot of stress on your body. I can imagine.
A lot. Yeah, it was.
Oof. I've had previous hip injuries from doing Half Dome and some of the parks out west, but nothing as big as that.
That's a nice one though, Half Dome. Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Overcoming fear for that one. If you guys have ever done it, the last bit of it is like you're going up like granite rock and you're scaling it. There's like posts in the ground and you actually have to like climb the side of a rock to the very top of Half Dome. And I had to definitely overcome my fear.
Yeah. Yeah. I would be afraid of that. I would be afraid of that too. I don't love exposure.
Yeah.
But that was another thing I did. I went to, is it the Miamo Spa? No. Malavare. I can't think of the name of the spa where they have a whole climbing place where Merival, and every day for 7 days, you climb up these 25 or 35 foot poles and walk across ropes and do all of these things that you are shaking like a leaf. And I went to try to help me be okay with exposure. You don't really have that kind of exposure, just FYI, at Kilimanjaro. There's one day and there's like 50 guides all around you. You can't really get hurt. And it's like being on a ski mountain. You're like on the mountain. You're not looking over the edge, afraid that you're going to fall.
Yeah. I love, like you said, that exposure, those moments. I've gone to a bunch of Dr. Joe Dispenza retreats and he does these, tests or, I guess it's the best way to say it, where you have to go to your edge. And how are you going to react? Are you going to become this conscious observer? Oh, challenge event. That's what they're called. Lost my train of thought. Challenge event. How are you going to show up? And I have scaled down a 35-story building in Canada. Never thought I would do that. And short story on the same thing with you. Going to this event, I didn't know. This is my first event that there was a challenge associated with it. So I find it the first day and I go, holy bleepity bleep, what did I sign up for? And I like amp myself up and we did a meditation before and I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. I can do it. And we get to the top there. I had to collect myself a little bit. They clip me in to the edge. And he's like, all right, I have to weigh you into the system. So the pulleys are weighted to your weight. And he's like, all right, I want you to lean over the edge, put your arms straight out like a cross. And I was like, can I just start climbing now? Like, I don't want, no, thank you. And I could hear in my head before the emotion came in, I could hear in my head, you know, Lauren, you've come this far. You know, you would have never come this far. You can just give up now if you want.
And right. You've already been bigger, better, braver.
Yeah. You know, and then you just have to constantly make that decision of, no, if I made it this far, I can keep moving it for more further and further, just like how you were doing your training and your exercises to keep going. And I did. I would like to say it would have was more mindful than it was, but, I definitely like as fast as I could move that pulley down and climb down that wall. But you learned so much about yourself.
For sure. So they wanted you to just, like, you were already tethered, right?
Yep, tethered in.
They wanted you
lean back.
Lean back.
Lean forward. Yeah, lean back. Oh, like 35 stories up in the air so they could adjust my weight into the pulley system.
Oh God.
I did it. Oh, it was, I was very flailing and was not
beautiful.
That's
amazing. That's amazing. That's way bigger than going to Tony Robbins and walking on fire, which I've done. That, yeah. The fire was not an issue. That would have really been a test for me.
Yeah. And another one, which this one I learned more about myself. Is I had to, it was like an obstacle course, kind of like what you were talking about, that spa. I had to climb up about 2 or 3 stories and then walk across a tightrope.
Right.
And I was harnessed in. I had a helmet and everything, and I wasn't really allowed to hold on to anything. And I walk across halfway, and I'm like, they need to, I was like the second person to do it for the day. I'm like, they need to tighten this tightrope. It's really loose. Like there's too much slack in it. And I look down and my left leg is uncontrollably shaking. I had no idea. And I stopped mid halfway, closed my eyes, took some deep breaths, centered myself. And then I start walking again. The shaking was still kind of there. But it was in that moment I realized I can be so focused on that end goal, that other platform in front of me. But at the same time, I need to open my awareness to realize I can do this. Open my awareness to the possibility that if anybody can walk across this tightrope, I can walk across it. Right. So for me, it was like this beautiful moment of realizing there's different kinds of focus, motivation to become bigger and better and stronger and just having that growth, but that having that end vision of where you want to go, but be open to how you get there.
Mm-hmm. And have compassion for yourself. You had a shaky leg. One of those that we do, they make you climb up a 35-foot pole, and then it makes me nervous even thinking about it. And then they have a little disc that's about the size of a plate that you have to then get your 2 feet and one hand on, and then your other hand, and let go enough and stand up. And the disc is moving because you're shaking like a leaf. And they tell you that you can't jump off to come down until you stop shaking. So you have to quiet yourself enough and will yourself enough to just be still and be here. And then when you stop shaking, you're finally free to go.
And yeah, that makes my palms really clammy too. But
yeah,
for me, those examples, like, they push you so far past your comfort zone that anything else in life seems totally manageable.
Mm-hmm.
That you can do anything. I think there's really some power to that. Like you said, you like walking across fire, doing these things that scare you. Because it's almost learning to cultivate that fear as a driving force for change. And I would love to hear more about how can we come to terms with that fear, but use it to propel us forward to become this bigger and better version of ourselves.
Yeah. I think it's the gift of knowing that your life is on the other side of it. I mean, honestly, there's no clearer way to say this to people, that your life is really on the other side of stepping in. And all of the angst and all of the drama and all of the negative self-talk stops when you step in. And, you know, I'm a climber. And so you can go straight up the mountain or you can take the switchbacks. Either way, you're going to get to the top. So you don't have to worry if it's not just a straight climb. Just step in, take the switchbacks, and you're still going to get there. And, you know, lots of things have happened in my business since I wrote the book, and not all are successful. And so instead of beating myself up, I look at it. All right, what can I learn from this? You know, how can I do it differently or do it better? Or who do I need to help me? Because it's half the time, it's not how do I do something, but it's who can I get to help me? Because we can't, we don't need to know how to do everything. And so it's just a matter of stepping in, like, don't wait. It's not going to go away. Everything is for your evolution. So if you fall forward. There are gifts, there are lessons. And nobody on their deathbed says, I wish I had spent more time just doing nothing. You know, I wish I had just been afraid and sat on the couch and didn't try all the things I've done. Just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Don't wait for that, you know.
For me, I think of life is not happening to me, it's happening for me. That's a huge shift. And we say that all the time in our household. We also love to say, are you the victim right now or the victor or Viking? Because it's really, I said this earlier, you know, you don't see life how it is, you see it how you are. In that perspective shift into becoming more empowered and stepping out of that victimhood is sometimes all it takes to see that next step, to realize, oh, I might need to get a coach like Nancy, or I might need to take an e-course, you know, X, Y, Z, or listen to this podcast and become inspired. But that trusting that that next step will always show up when it needs to, and taking that aligned action when that feels right. So if you guys are interested in this episode, go buy Nancy's book, go see, you know, how else can somebody work with you? You have an e-course.
Oh, lots of ways. Yeah.
All the ways.
So my book is out in paperback and Kindle, and also the audio, which was another bigger, better, braver moment for me, like making that audio, but I loved it. And if you go to my website, Nancy Picard Life Coach, there is, I offer a course. So I do two courses. I mean, I do one-on-one coaching, which is still really my favorite, but not everyone can afford one-on-one coaching. So I have two different levels of, you get the book, you get 10 audio lessons and a workbook and exercises and a Facebook group. You can do it all on your own. That's the least expensive one. Or I do group ones where I do 12 weeks of Zoom calls. And so you're doing it in a group, which people love, because everyone's got the same stuff going on. And so it's really empowering to be in a group like that. So those are all, you know, follow me on Instagram. I'm doing 4 rooms this week on, so every week, whenever this comes out, I'll probably be doing more on Clubhouse. So there's just a lot. There's always things going on.
Amazing. And I'll link all of that in the show notes for everybody. One last question before we start to wrap the show up. How can we free ourselves from those old ways of behaving?
Well, I think the best way is to do some work. That's why I think coaching is so great. So you get rid of those disempowering beliefs and underlining commitments, which are, they go with the beliefs and they're the promises that we make. Like, if my belief is that I'm not safe alone, my promise to myself was to never be alone, right? If my belief is that, you know, my voice doesn't matter, my commitment to myself is to never share my feelings. So when you uncover those, that's the way you actually make the most progress, because then you can move forward in a way that you haven't been able to do. And then aside from just that, it's feel the fear and do it anyway.
Amen on that one. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Nancy, for coming on the show today. Was there anything else you wanted to, like, we talked a lot about a lot of things today. Was there anything you wanted to talk about or wrap up before we start closing the show out today?
No, I think the last thing you said, though, was really important, and we didn't really talk about it a lot, but don't be the victim in your story, because that keeps you not only playing small, but it doesn't allow you to use your creativity to change your story. So think about your story as a heavy backpack that I trained on to go to Kilimanjaro. You want to drop the pack. You want to drop the story. And so you got to get out of victim mode. And to do that, you have to become the co-creator. You have to realize that everything happens. You didn't live in a vacuum. Even your thoughts and your beliefs and your disempowering beliefs attracted the person or the situation into your life. So that's how you co-created it, among other ways. Mm. So that's really it. I'm trying to cram it all in.
That's right? It, but it's very powerful for, yeah. You know, your sentences. Again, thank you, Nancy, for coming on the show. And everything will be linked in the show notes. If you guys like this episode, please share it with a loved one or follow up. Check Nancy out online. But as always, Nancy, we close out every single show. How may we, the listeners, as an act of gratitude, be of service for you today? Because I know we are so grateful for all that you do and the wisdom you imparted with us today.
Thank you. I think the best way would be buy my book and leave a Amazon review. That would be amazing. And then just follow me and DM me and get into conversation. So I know if I can help you and support you better, and that if there's any questions, ask me. So great. Awesome. Thank you for asking me that.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for coming on the show today.
You're very welcome.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.